You are listening to the fourth episode of BPR6. This is your host, Seth. And next to me, I have...
This is Duncan.
Mike and Betty.
Tonight, unfortunately, two of our members are not here. Jack is at home dealing with a wife and child problem. He will occasionally be live from my computer speakers. Not via Skype, because he doesn't have Skype and he sucks.
And you don't have Skype.
Well, you don't have Skype.
Isn't it free?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Hence the statement that it sucks. Okay.
I don't think it's so much that he doesn't have it, it's just so much that he doesn't know how to use it.
I just wanted to clarify that before we end further.
Well, let's be honest here. Jack is technologically inept.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, it's Jack. He drives a Chevy.
Hey, I drive a Chevy.
That's kind of my point. Our other partner, Andy, is also not here this evening. Andy, however, is not here this evening because he has a horrible emergency at home that involves sitting on his couch and not being here.
So now we've got the introductions out of the way, let's go ahead and talk about what we did this week, or the 2 weeks since we did our last podcast.
What we didn't do.
Or what we didn't do.
That's true. I did a lot of nothing. I did Christmas and getting drunk at New Year's.
Well, that's something at least.
Okay, that's not really true. I completed Squad 3 and 4. I've got two more guys with melted guns put together. I've got five rhinos spray-based. I played one game of 40K.
Don't get too excited now, Duncan.
I'm trying to remember what else I did. I played a lot of Star Wars. That went really well for me, because Star Wars is awesome.
No complaints there.
No complaints at all with Star Wars. I really like it. But mostly I just farted around and did nothing, to be honest. I mean, I played one game of 40K against a guy who's not from here. He was up for the weekend or the month or 2 weeks or what have you. He had his Grey Knights. Mike, what'd you do this week, or this past 2 weeks since Christmas and New Year?
40K-wise, I tried to do a challenge of getting done with everything.
Tried,
it being the key word there. If you see our post on the blog, I...
Didn't post anything?
I did.
Oh.
I posted up there saying I was trying.
He posted more than I did.
It didn't work out so well. I got a lot of things, everything's base coated. I got the black put on everything, and that was pretty much it. All the rhinos are almost done. But we played a couple games against Seth with Betty. Those were really good. We'll do a battle report on those a little bit later. Those were really good. What about you, Betty? What'd you do?
I put the first model together that I'm going to be using for my Adepticon list, which is a rhino.
Oh, right!
I know, right? It's like, I'm almost there. One rhino.
One down, 47 million.
I was supposed to say one rhino. What's left? I'm like, half of 7? 12? Purple?
Purple. Purple's a good number.
I don't know if I mentioned this last podcast or not, but decided I might as well just go ahead and start a Steel Legion force now that the box prices have got to the point where the Steel Legion boxes are only $6 more than the Cadians are.
Quack?
Quack.
Quack, quack.
So it's pretty much going to be, I have all my Cadians. Now with Steel Legion instead.
So you had to start all that over again.
Yes.
Well, at least you're not starting out with, like, you know, the Elysians or the Death Corps of Creed.
Oh, God.
Lord knows. We've done one Forge World Order.
I'm not stupid.
More is expensive.
But I started painting around with a Chimera I already had that was base coat and everything. Found a nice gray that I like. Nice little shade.
Is it Tiama Field Gray?
No.
So I really like that one.
Played around with that. I'm not sure if I'm going to go solid gray on it or not, if I'm going to have a kind of yellowish camouflage like the pictures in the book do.
Uh-huh.
But all I know for sure is the gray. But that's pretty much all I've done gaming-wise, besides that game Mike mentioned.
What about you, Seth? You were sitting over there stewing.
You all make me sound like an overachiever.
You are an overachiever. Well, hold on. Let's do a breakdown. Let's see. Some of us work. Some of us don't have an unlimited supply of money. I'm just kidding.
Some of us is like, what? Some of us is working for a PhD.
Okay, yeah. So I go to school and work like 50 hours a week. And on top of that, I put together 30 Dark Eldar Warriors, 20 Witches, 6 Venoms, 2 Raiders, 2 Ravagers, Razorwing Jet Fighter, 20 Hellions, 9 Jet Bikes, 10 Scourge, and have half a unit of Warriors painted.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Mike, I feel lazy.
I do too. I feel so lazy.
And on top of that, had time to play 2 games against Mike and Betty.
I feel really lazy.
Overachieved much?
I just like to get everything put together because then I'm never going to paint it. I'm going to try, but
yeah.
Once I get it put together, then I just sit there and look at it. And
it looks pretty that way.
It's like, it's so pretty and gray.
I do have to mention, though, Seth, on top of doing more than everybody else, you're wearing the most interesting shoes of the night.
I'm wearing Vibram 5-finger shoes, which are the most comfortable shoes ever. They're like wearing sandals, but you actually have some kind of shock-absorbing rubber, I guess. They're awesome.
I remember watching Married with Children years and years ago, and there was an episode where Al Bundy invented a shoe that had a hole for each toe. And, yeah, that really looks like what you're wearing right now. Looks like something Al Bundy would have invented.
Wait, I also put together 5 incubi, a homunculus, 2 homunculus.
That's homunculi.
Homunculus.
At least it's not homunculomos.
And they've yet to put together another venom, another box of homunculus.
Oh.
Homunculuses. 2 boxes of racks.
Racks.
And another box of hellions that I just bought before I came over here.
Okay, Seth, I've got to ask. How much have you dropped on this Dark Eldar army now?
Ballpark. Oh, like 500.
Welcome back to Games Workshop, Seth. We've missed you.
Well, okay.
Seth, will you buy me some Space Marines?
When I started talking about getting into this, what was the first thing I told you?
I don't want to play Space Marines again.
Oh, second thing I told you.
I still don't want to play Space Marines again.
Okay.
Fair enough.
That wasn't my point.
Now I'm confused!
We were talking about armies. And I was asking, well, what was competitive? Because we all know not everything's going to be competitive.
Yeah, that's very true.
Play Necrons.
And the first thing I said was, money wasn't an issue.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I forgot. You're rich.
And I tend to go overboard anyway, so I'm probably only halfway through it. You know, I need probably twice as much as everything I have, and I don't even have 2 of every unit yet, so.
Hey, Duncan?
Forge World, Seth will be talking to you very soon.
Yeah, please. But some really cool looking Dark Eldar stuff, because I don't like the stuff they have right now. It's all the old Dark Eldar scheme.
They brought out that one new thing that Jim, who is another local Dark Eldar player, got. I can't remember what it's called. Does anybody? It's got a big cannon on it.
Nope. Yeah, it uses the Raider / Ravager chassis with the big gun on it. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, that's pretty neat looking. Mm.
Don't you two wish you had some disposable income like that?
Yeah.
It'd be nice.
Oh, the life of a graduate student.
I spent my disposable income on cigarettes, caffeine, and buying a house.
The life of a poor undergraduate student.
See, you need a sugar mama.
I have a wife. I can't afford a sugar mama. I mean, let's be honest here.
Because I make mine buy all our food and pay for the house and the utilities.
Really? Wow!
Are you serious?
Yeah.
This is quickly
the Dark Eldar thing we were talking about. By the way, guys, that was the Reaper.
The Reaper.
Yeah. with the diamond pointed.
The Dark Reapers.
Yes, it's the Dark Eldar Reaper, not the Dark Reapers like the Eldar.
Dark Reaper Eldar.
Yes, yes.
The creativity can only go so far.
Well, this, let's be honest here. It is Dark Eldar. I mean, you couldn't name it something like the Shiny Happy People.
Yeah. I'll laugh if they come out with one of those next week.
The Shiny Happy People.
This week from Forge World, Shiny Happy People.
I really think my problem is I'm obsessed with putting things together. So I keep putting it together, and then I get done with a box, and I'm like, no, I gotta go buy something now. I don't have anything else to put together.
I need more.
It's an obsession. It's an illness.
It's a problem.
Well, you know, it's an acceptable illness because it feeds GW. You know, and it keeps stores open.
The bad thing is I'm like, okay, I think I'm close to 3,000 points with this already.
And you know we're close to done?
Well, that. But I'm already trying to decide what the next army's going to be.
We've missed you playing GW. Welcome back to 40.
So the plan is...
So how much longer until you get another Space Marine?
Exactly. Let me go buy 3,000 points for the Space Marines, put them together, sell them to somebody.
$50.
No.
Oh.
60.
Seth, not Jamie. Yeah, 60. This is Seth.
Okay, 60.
And then I'll pick something real to play.
Well, that's fair. Isn't that pretty much what you did last time?
I actually really want the new Tau book to come out, because that's the next army I want to play.
You know, I kind of want to play the Tau, except I don't want to play Tau. I want to see what the Demiurge look like. Because if they look anything at all like the old squats, if they're short, then I'll just bust out the old squats and buy the Tau Codex and be good to go. And not have to, like, have a single non-incredibly heavy lead model on the table.
Just so game goes bad for you, start throwing them at the opponent.
Exactly. I mean, most of the old squats I have are sharp and pointy anyway. So if I really have to, I'll just ask them kindly to move the miniature for me. And when they cut themselves on it, I'll say, ha-ha, you have lead poisoning. You'll be dead in 20 years.
But look at it this way.
I'll win the game then, by God.
But look at it this way, Duncan.
If not now, eventually.
Some of them have cool hats.
Yes, some of them have cool hats. And trikes.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody needs a cool hat.
I will
hat.
Never let go of the fact that some of them have cool hats.
Yes, they all have cool hats and beards.
So, is Seth quickly turning into Mike 2?
I've always been like this,
stuff,
though.
Mike.
So,
Mike.
Oh,
again,
right.
he pays for all his stuff.
So just take note of that. In future episodes, when we talk about what we've done, I want to keep track of how many episodes we do before I start the next army. Let's see if I even get anything painted, fully painted in this one. Now, I've got half a unit of warriors done. Let's see if I get that done before I go buy 3,000 points worth of another army.
I like this plan. Everybody out there, help us keep track.
Seth, can I have some money?
No.
Seth's woman, can we have some money?
I might be able to do that for you.
There we go.
Seth's a good friend.
And we're not.
By the way, there's no way she'll ever listen to this, so we can keep, you know.
Oh, okay, good, good.
But, speaking of your Dark Elder, we played that, two games?
Yeah.
Total?
Two games this past
Seven?
Week.
12?
It was what, me and Betty versus you, we were trying out our Adepticon list, and you hadn't played any Dark Eldar whatsoever, had you?
Well, no. I mean, this was basically me throwing together one of every unit I had to see exactly what things did, because I had no idea, and to try and get a feel for what units I like.
Was this your first game back?
No. That tournament we did...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the tournament.
A couple weeks ago.
So this is what, your fifth game back?
Fifth game back. With a brand new army.
Good job.
So our first game was...
Dawn of War Annihilation.
Dawn of War and Annihilation.
It was the Dawn of War. Shouldn't have even been there. We didn't even do anything.
So, and I got first turn. If I remember correctly, Mike and Betty didn't set anything up. So there goes my whole everything gets to reroll night fight. Which I was so excited about. It's like, yes, I've got a special roll.
And then first turn, you ran away.
I tried to deny them deployment by setting up my two raiders with my two troops right up there in front, and then they didn't deploy anything, and I think I, moved 24 inches back to my
away.
Table edge.
So we couldn't get you.
Run away!
So you deployed 24 inches forward, so we have to set up 18 inches back.
And then you ran away. Back.
Spend my first turn running both of them back while everything else came on, yeah.
And then me and Mike, of course, couldn't shoot anything at all.
No, even with rerolling, because we were playing Space Wolves, even with rerolling night fighting, we couldn't get anything.
You were barely off on one of them.
Yeah, I was off by one.
Rolled a six and a five, you need double sixes.
I needed double sixes. But about second turn...
Well, before we go into that, let me give roughly kind of what I had, so
that's a good
idea.
Get
an idea of how horrible one of my turns was when we get to it. See, I had... A unit of Scourges, just bare bones, no additional weapons. Unit of jet bikes, 9 with 3 blasters. 2 raiders with warriors in it. And 2 ravagers and a razor wing jet fighter.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was everything.
We had 3 rhinos and support.
Yeah. a piece, though.
A piece!
Yeah, so six rhinos and two support.
Yeah. We first turn, we pretty much just came on and tried to shoot him, but didn't do very good and ran our guys into buildings, so our long fangs.
Made our stuff all funky looking so that way we could cover saves
yeah.
on our rhinos.
But, okay, so the first turn, yeah, you all tried to shoot at me, nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
My you second turn, I think I tried to shoot everything I had at you. Now, mind you, I think I had...
You ended up popping one of the rhinos.
Yeah, I popped one of the rhinos. I have 21 lance weapons in that list. Yeah. I forgot to mention the three groups of Blaster, Born, and Venoms. That was the one thing I left out. So I think I popped one rhino the first turn.
And we have nothing above armor 11.
Yeah. Shooting all of my lances. Now, this is how all of my turns go for the rest of the game. 20-something lance weapons. I was popping one rhino a turn.
And then,
if that, except for that last one.
And it was then that Living Lightning and split missile shots got to have fun with Dark LR vehicles.
But you did have a really good time with your jet bikes. They demolished Betty's unit.
Yeah, the jet bikes did decide to go flying across the table using their razor vanes and just destroyed a Devastator unit. Woohoo!
Sorry,
pain token.
The pack leader lived. He ran away.
Yeah, he ran away. He was
double
gone.
Sixes on leadership tests are not fun.
No, but they do happen for everybody.
Yeah. Space Marines, we shall know no hope.
Oh God, run!
Well, you know, the funny thing was that even though my shooting was that poor, and I mean, I was hitting almost everything.
Yeah, you're
just
rolling one and two.
My rolls on the chart were ones and twos for everything. But I put the 5+ cover save on all my vehicles, and I cannot believe how long most of my vehicles lasted. No, almost all of them lasted the whole game until like the last two turns. We rolled for turn 6, and then I started losing almost every single vehicle I had. And then on turn 7, it just sealed the deal. I mean, I was like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what I had left, but it was very little.
But by turn 5, we were pretty much drawn.
Yeah.
It was pretty much, we were passing stuff back and forth. And then turn 6, we got to you.
Yeah.
Finally.
Well, a couple of the Venoms went down, and then that left the Trueborn out in the open, and they started to get mowed down.
I was about to say, as soon as we got all your vehicles down, you were gone.
Yeah.
Except for that one Jetfire. I was shot at the entire game.
You eventually destroyed it.
I had to assault the freaking thing
yeah.
and destroy it. I was shooting everything, and I was rolling one and two. I was pinning it every round.
I got one turn of shooting with it.
One turn of shooting.
And then after that, it was, can't remember shoot. And then I think you knocked a couple weapons off it. And
can't remember shoot.
Last turn, you destroyed it.
I saw something during this battle, though, that I will never see again. I never saw a single melted gun miss.
Yes. That, I couldn't believe it. No matter
what. During the entire game, not a single miss on a melted gun.
Normally around here, every time somebody rolls for a melted gun, it misses. It's like, oh, one.
Not me. That's why I roll 3. So I can have 2 misses.
I was going to say, Mike, I think that's everyone. Not just us around here.
It's ridiculous, though. I couldn't believe we're hitting with everything. Our MVP of that game had to have been the Rune Priests.
Oh,
yeah. Living Lightning just destroyed everything.
Well, I mean, you kept everything stunned or shaken.
And I kept rolling 5s and 6s for the amount of shots that I'd get.
Yeah.
It was like, all right, I get 6 shots. Oh, 5 shots. Oh, 6 shots. I didn't fail a single psychic test that entire game.
Got close.
Got very close. I rolled 10, probably 3 times.
So overall, I think it was a pretty good game. It was a good experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you got to see the things somehow, and...
Yeah.
I mean, playing against two good people helps as well.
And we hadn't tried that list against Dark Eldar yet, and we need a good, competent player to try it out, and Seth did really good. We got lucky.
He did not do a Caboose.
He did not play a Caboose game.
All right, so our second game was Capture and Control with Pitch Battle.
Mm-hmm. That was a little more interesting.
And I think I went first again on this one.
Yes,
because Mike cannot roll.
I can't roll. I was like, all right, so I'm going to go ahead and try this.
And my list was similar to the first game, except I didn't have more blasters. I dropped a group of Trueborn for the Incubi. A group of 7 Incubi and a Homunculus got added in, and I dropped some of the -6 inches on, like, 2 of the Venoms. and obviously the Trueborn with their Venom was gone. And I think the table setup was quite advantageous for me with this huge piece of blocking terrain in the center of the table made from the Bastion kits, where the Incubi and the Raider conveniently hid the first turn.
We had some pretty good stuff on our side, though. I took my vehicles and shoved them inside a building.
Yeah.
So
even though you lost,
cowards, come out and fight.
And yet Mike somehow lost over half its vehicles turn one.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I did much better shooting turn one of this game.
I don't know. Was it your better shooting or the fact that Mike couldn't roll a cover save?
God, that was horrible. We that game quickly became a defensive game for me and Betty. It was pretty much, we're never going to make it across the board. What was it about turn two? You had destroyed almost all our transports.
Yeah.
Well,
I had destroyed or immobilized all your transports by turn two.
Mm-hmm. No, we still had two of them left.
No. Well, the ones that could get to you, I guess, would be the...
Okay, the two that ended up behind the Bastions, and then you had one tried to come out, and you got halfway across the table.
Yeah.
Basically.
And then he didn't actually tell us what was in his list. Which, you know, okay.
Psychological warfare, game your opponent, it's a valid tactic.
We thought he had a thing of warriors, so he runs up to us, and we're like, alright, we're going to get shot, you know, really hard here. And then all of a sudden, he brings out these little models, which, you know, he didn't have Incubi at the time, and proceeds to assault us, and me and Betty are just kind of looking at each other like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
What are you doing assaulting us?
Proxy Incubi for the win.
And then you go, oh, those are Incubi.
What? Okay, so witches are close, you know.
WYSIWYG.
What?
It's gotta be WYSIWYG.
They have weapons.
Yeah.
It's close. It counts.
They're Dark Eldar.
Yes.
At least you know.
It's a GW model.
Unit of 7 Incubi with the Archon with a Phantasm grenade launcher.
Oh.
Into the building where the Devastator Squad and a bunch of guys are standing behind
long
it.
Fangs.
I don't care what they are.
They're dead all of a sudden.
Entered into the Incubi.
Decide to rape the whole unit. And then, I think for the next three turns, got raped in return by like four other squads who...
We turned around and unloaded everything on him, trying to destroy him.
Two full squads of bolter fire into him, didn't lose a single model.
Feel no pain for the win.
Passed every melta gun we shot at him on his 2+ save.
2+?
On the Archon,
Archon he had in the
unit. Oh, right.
Was that the 2+ invulnerable?
Until you fail it.
The shadow
until
fail it. Yeah, until you fail.
Which comes up a little bit later. And then we assaulted everything into it, and he was doing pretty good until the other unit showed up.
Yeah.
Until Power Fists.
Because with our units, we got them set out to where we have five Power Fist attacks on the charge.
Was it Power really Fist helped. For the win?
Power Fist for the win.
Yeah. Power Fist, ignoring the Incubi, 3+ armor save, and feel no pain, makes me happy.
Except for you've actually failed the 2+ invulnerable save to a bolter sword, or chain sword.
Yeah.
Which we turned around and crushed your face with a power fist and an initiative one.
Yep.
And at that point in time, we couldn't get back in our transports and physically make it over there, so we pretty much tried. Yeah. We were going to try to get over there, but there was...
One of your Wolfguard gave his last dying breath, making sure my rune priest lived. Yes. Keep shooting lightning.
So we hid. The game ended up being a draw because we were pretty much...
We turtled.
We were defended really well, and we just couldn't get over to him, and he would have shot us up by the time we even tried to get over there.
See, the game, I wanted to go to turn 6 and 7. We can't even get out of it.
But this game, we got 6 and 7, which if it ended at turn 5, we would have lost. I mean, just honestly. But we were able to save it there at the end, which was great. The one thing you didn't talk about was those stupid liquefier guns.
Oh, yeah.
He destroyed two entire units that I had.
Two? One.
One entire unit and half of another one.
Yeah, I can't remember how many points that Homunculus was, but he was the base Homunculus with two liquefier guns.
Does that make him twin-linked?
Nope. If it does, I could not find it anywhere. It just gives you an option. You can add two to him. So, I walked up, he gets out of the transport... And just lays waste to a unit inside the building.
Flamer template?
Yep. And then the next 86. Turn turns around to the unit that ignored him because they were too worried about the Incubi shooting at him. Turns around and flames that unit and kills them all.
I didn't even think about it. We got out there because I'm like, what do we do, Betty? Don't worry about the incubi. He's the incubus, or the incubi, the homunculus. He's nothing. I was like, all right. I didn't even think about the liquefier gun.
I don't even think he's 100 points.
Strength 6, AP D6?
That's a good question. I didn't think about that.
No, it wasn't strength 6. That's lower than that.
4? 5?
I think strength 4.
That you're rolling 1 and 2s actually came in handy that time.
Finally, me rolling low was helpful that game.
I think your big flyer thing actually made it through the entire game, though.
Well, the important thing was, as opposed to game 1, in game 2, I shot its full load the first turn. So that I actually got some use out of it, because I didn't shoot any of the missiles in the first game, and then shot them all the second game and wiped out a whole squad. So he made his points, finally. But
no, Mike, don't you remember I destroyed it last turn? Because I was like, okay, that would be the better tactical choice, but I'm going to destroy that big plane.
Yeah. As far as us, we, our first couple of turns, our first two turns, I think, we immobilized everything you had on the right side of the board.
Yeah, a Ravager.
It stunned everything!
The Ravager and the Raider, well, it was your all's right side, it was my left side.
Yeah, his left side.
We're both immobilized, and both stunned, and one weapon destroyed on the Ravager the very first turn. But luckily, they were still in line of sight to shoot at important things the whole game.
Eventually, you ran out of stuff to shoot because we moved our tank, or the two surviving tanks we had out of the way. You started picking off models with shots.
But it was the one guy next to the Rune Priest.
Yeah.
And I think I shot four Dark Lances at him, and it took all of those to kill the one guy. I was hoping some of them would go into the Priest, and they didn't even touch him.
That was a good game, too. We got more experience. I think we're gonna play some more against Dark Eldar. Overall, though, it was a lot of fun. What would you say was your MVP, I guess? Liquefier guns?
Okay, yeah. I'd have to go to liquefier guns. I was going to say incubi actually probably killed more than anything, but the liquefier gun was just too awesome to not have it be my MVP.
That's finally you rolling 1 and 2, a good thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ours has to, again, be the Rune Priest.
The Rune Priest.
Except for you killing him. Killing mine.
I was going to say mine survived.
And maybe just to think, they could have had 4 if they had gone with my list.
I blame Mike.
I hate Rune Priest.
Doesn't everybody complain about Rune Priest?
Yes.
They're a good model. I can't, you know, they're perfect. I didn't think they would be that good, but
the only thing I can say is I like playing against them with Dark Eldar more than Demons because I'm tired of Nubs, who's going to be Little Andy when we refer to him on this. I don't know if we should explain that.
Stumpy.
That's better.
Stumpy's better.
When the new Wolf Codex first came out, that's the only HQ he ever took, and Stupid Kugoth died first round every single time because he'd used that psychic ability.
The Baby Eater died?
Yeah, the psychic ability that makes you take the initiative test, and with initiative 2, he'd just get insta-killed every single
Jaws game. Of the Wolf World. Yes. Or World Wolf.
That's such a good power to take against stuff like that, though.
I learned to hate him very quickly.
Wait.
Who? Stumpy or...
You didn't hate him before?
Well, I did.
Is this why you made him cry?
Yeah. We now interrupt this podcast for Papa John's and station identification.
Landing sequence initiated. Drop location confirmed in lock. Stand by for orbital insertion. Iron crust is in 3, 2, 1.
The 11th Company podcast, dedicated to player strategies and tactics of Warhammer 40K.
The 11th Company provides clean 40K discussion focused on strategies and tactics. Our niche is to provide direct, focused talk about playing the game of 40K, improving your game, expanding your strategies, and exploring rules and tactics.
We're also dedicated to finding perspective by interviewing players and community names from around the world. It's our goal to make sure that you get to listen to the world of 40K for more than just us. We'll also support the 40K community in any way we can through other podcasts, events, tournaments, and anything else that will further the hobby.
After all, the 11th Company of the Codex Astartes is the players, and that's who we are.
Our episodes are released once a week every Sunday evening. Our podcast is mostly clean and PG, making them store and older child friendly. You can find us at iTunes, Podcast Alley, at our website, www.tang2.com/11thcompany.
The 11th Company has landed.
Episode 4 of the BPR 6's podcast has been brought to you by The Rusty Scabbard. At 820 Lane Allen Road in Lexington, Kentucky, you can reach them at 859-278-6634. With a full line of all role-playing games, war games, including Warhammer, War Machine, and board games, their friendly staff is just a call or walk away from delivering all your gaming needs. Also,
the furthest monster.
And now, with us, now that we're back, we have Jack joining us via Duncan's computer. Jack, go ahead and give us your rumors rundown, and go Jack!
Okay, first thing is they released an idea of the schedule for the next 3 years. In 2012, Q1, we have a PAL, or Black Templar. Next in quarter two, we have whichever one doesn't come out. Third quarter, we have 6S. Fourth quarter, we have Eldar. Going into 2013, we have Space Marine, Legions, IGs, and/or Orc.
Is the Space Marine Legions the Chaos Legions?
It's Space Marine, then Chaos Legions.
And when was this, you said?
2013.
Quarter one or two?
Quarter one, and then for Chaos Space Legions, quarter two.
So they pushed it back again.
So the Chaos Marine College pushed back another year.
Yeah, if this is right.
Okay, well, sure I hope it's wrong.
Yeah, so do I.
All right, keep going.
But and then going up into 2014, no timeline, but Demons, Nid, and then Dark Angels.
So the Nids are going to get a book before the Dark Angels are?
Yeah, well, there's not a timeline.
Oh, okay.
So, Dark Angels could be first, then Nids. Everybody's general consensus is the Nids suck.
So, all right. Well,
that's what we have.
Well, we've actually seen that proven a couple times by the fact that no Nids army has actually won any in these significant or larger GTs. So I can see that.
Yeah.
Hey, I came close a few times.
Close doesn't count, Mike. You still lost. All right. What else Bobby says?
Going into Black Templars, some of these rumors are buggy because they're hand-in-hand with Warhammer Fantasy's Empire. You have Dreadnoughts like a mobile banner-bearer. Land Raiders are going to be harder to kill. Land Raiders spam. You have the whole entire them going crazy.
Yeah.
Named Emperor Champion. Initiates will be cheaper, around 11 points. Neophytes will be 6.
Woohoo!
Bikes will name by character with Eternal Warrior. You're going to have a Dreadnought Knight style that fits with the rest of the army. I think they're going to be using that big oval base more and more and more.
You think it'll be another Dreadnought style miniature?
Maybe, but this time instead of like a monster creature, maybe actually a new one.
Okay.
Like a super Dreadnought.
Okay, kind of like a Contemptor?
With that, they're going to be releasing a new Dreadnought style. I can't think of the name of it. Drundrel, I think. D-U-R-A-N-D-A-L.
Say that again?
Drundrel. D-U-R-A-N-D-A-L.
Durandal.
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 Durandal, okay. Apparently it was in a white dwarf a while ago.
Yeah, actually,
it's like a you're also Dreadnought.
Yeah, I actually looked up the rules for that right before we started the podcast. If I remember correctly, it was 95 points. You could upgrade to be venerable for 20. It had two Dreadnought close combat weapons. One had a melted gun, one had a storm bolter. Except you rolled 2d6 for armor penetration on vehicles.
That's what it looked like when I looked up, but...
Yeah. And since it had the two close combat weapons, it had 3 attacks.
Yeah.
Which for Black Templars would be real nice. But
yeah.
I think it would be pretty cool.
Makes sense.
Some of the big things that people are going to care about is you're going to be able to have a Black Wing, kind of like a, Death Wing or a Darker Wing, but with support Templars. Everybody's getting a price reduction. And a salt rhino chassis.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they actually going to make our chapter master or high marshal worth taking?
They're going to make them cheaper.
That's not going to help.
That's not going to help at all.
Because, I mean, it's for less points, we can make a Marshall that is better than our high Marshall.
I'm sure your mother's proud.
I mean, it's just silly.
Well, a lot of things silly.
That's just silly.
Say, you know, Marty's cowgirl, great fluff. I like the model. He sucks.
True.
Marty is cowgirl? Yeah.
I'm a cowgirl.
Okay.
Shut up, Mike.
Well, you got any other rumors for us, Jack?
I got some cow rumors.
Oh, sure. Lay it on us.
See here. New Fire Warriors are going to have heavy weapons. A couple of redo of the kits. They're going to be all plastic. Fruits are getting a better armor save.
They have an armor save now?
They get paid for a six.
The Battlesuit Commander isn't going to lock Battlesuits as troops, but only unlocks one Battlesuit as a troop.
Okay.
New close combat Battlesuit.
Ethereals
that they have are going to add a lot of buffing to the army. They're not going to do that much stuff, but they're actually going to be worthwhile to take.
Any rumors on if they're getting rid of the rule where if they die, they have to run away or take a leadership test for the whole entire army?
There's nothing about that yet.
Okay.
They're going to be updating a new deep striking dropship, kind of like an Orcus or a Valkyrie type thing. And then the one I like is they're upgrading the gun drones to make them more useful, i.e. missile launchers and plasma guns.
You mean i.e. useful at all?
Yeah. where they'll be able to, like, pop tank.
Wow. Well, that'll be the first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They probably won't raise their bliss skill at all, though.
I hope
two
now.
Yeah, it's two.
And then the big one that everybody's been talking about has been a Space Marine Flyer.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like a Storm Raven. It's going to be more of a gunship.
Is that the thing where I read the rumors where it's like this, but completely different?
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing that's absolutely convoluted and gives no idea what it is whatsoever?
Exactly. They're pulling it from the fluff from the Bad War books from Imperial Armor.
Okay.
Okay.
Their problem is right now is you have the Space Marine miniature line. It's almost 100% plastic. It almost has everything in it. What else can they add to it?
So they're running out.
Yeah. So let's put a big flyer on that oval space that they have to buy.
Well, that actually makes sense because, some are flyers and all that. And by some are flyers, I mean something that never happened.
Right. But I'll talk more about this next week when I'm not over the phone and listening to a lot of feedback. But there, I have a Imperial Armor Apocalypse 2, which gives hints to what 6N might be like.
Oh, that's good. I've got my copy of it right here in front of me as well, actually. Really?
Yeah, so we're probably going to have flyers in 6N.
I actually kind of expect it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. So we'll talk more about that next week. And that's what I got.
All right, Jack. Well, thank you. And we'll get hold of you again for the sign off in a little while. And I'll talk to you later, Jack.
See you, Jack.
Thank you, bro.
So, what do you guys think about the Black Templar rumors? I mean, in general, I'm kind of aggravated about getting a new codex because I like our codex. I really, really, really like our codex.
Mike doesn't like change.
Change frightened Mike.
So Mike, as we all now know, is a Neanderthal.
In more than one way.
Yes, in more than one way. I'm fine with a new Templar codex because it doesn't bother me at all. I don't play Templars. I play against Templars infrequently. When I do, the Templars proceed to either stomp me into the ground or receive a stomping in return.
There is no middle ground.
There really is no middle ground with the Templars.
What I'm upset about is possibly getting my Chaos Legions Codex in 2013.
Because that of Templars, Tau, and all the others?
That offends me.
What did he say the others were? Templars, Tau, and what were the other two quarters?
Eldar.
I hadn't even heard about Eldar.
Eldar.
I didn't even know they were on the radar screen for this year.
Eldar is actually one of those that they've been working on for a while. They just aren't leaking anything on it.
Well, they've apparently had been sitting on the Black Templar Codex for 5 years.
That's what they say. Yeah, yeah. I think that's bogus. I think that's just some guy wishlisting.
Yeah.
That said, the Eldar Codex and Chaos Codex are both about the same age. Both of them are poor codexes. They were both done under the minimalist structure. And both of them, honestly, are trash.
Well, didn't we get both of those right before 5th edition, too?
We got them about 6 months to a year before 5th edition. Yeah.
And they didn't even account... I mean, they knew 5th edition was going to come out, and I don't think they accounted for it at all.
No,
like
they
they're
didn't.
Doing now in some of the books.
No. Which is good. I mean, it's about... You don't want a new edition to come out, and it's like, wow, this doesn't work at all anymore.
Right.
Yeah, well, as it is right now, the Chaos Codex doesn't work at all. I mean, you've got to spam one thing, and that's Lash and Obliterators, to have any chance at all of winning.
Yep.
And it, frankly, just doesn't work.
And sprinkle in some Berserkers.
Yes, sprinkle in Berserkers and...
Today and we are going to cook Chaos Marine Army. First we had a Lash whip, and we sprinkled in a Berserker on it.
A Dash or Lash.
A Dash or Lash!
Oh, sorry. Lord.
I couldn't help myself.
I really wish you had.
I don't know. The Black Templars being a horde army, I think that'd be really cool. I'd have to buy more models. I
mean, 6 points a piece for pretty much scouts.
You know, we're running a horde army, and you know you're going to be seeing land raiders like mad. I mean, just they're going to be everywhere.
You have to be wondering though what they're going to do to compensate for the price decrease, though.
Yeah, like a like that's I was true. Talking to Mike.
Oh, that's obvious. They're gonna jack up the price. The points of cost might go down, but the price will go up. That's how they fix it.
Like I was talking to Mike earlier before the podcast started, one of the things we thought it could be was like how they've been talking about drawbacks for the units. Like one thing I think would make a really good compromise for it is like fail a leadership test, you have rage.
Yeah.
That seems like something very Templar-y, and it could be a good drawback to the army.
It makes perfect sense, you know, having to run forward into stuff.
I think they should have rage to begin with.
Yeah.
Let me lead them around by the nose.
Come here.
Or look, rallies.
They don't have rage. You have to test every unit every turn. First time they fail it, then they have rage for the rest of the game.
Or rage for that turn. That'd be interesting.
Like the old Black Rage rules for Blood Angels.
Yeah,
they had to test for it every turn.
It used to be you had to test, or else you went off and did whatever.
That would make sense that you had rage. Like if you failed your leadership test, you had rage and Furious Charge that turn.
I mean, if they don't do that, at least whenever they lose a guy from the unit, like the Righteous Zeal is now.
I'm going to miss Righteous Zeal. I'm definitely going to miss that.
Oh, yeah. Nothing like losing one guy and moving 6 inches towards the Tau gun line.
How much do you know about the Assault Land Raider? The Assault Rhino they're talking about.
I figure that'll just be pretty much just a Rhino chassis with the Assault kind of door rules that the Land Raider has now. Pretty much, no matter how far you move to Rhino, any unit that disembarks from it that turn can still assault. I mean, one comparison I've been hearing a lot about is that they're making Templars like 3rd edition Blood Angels.
Really?
Yeah. Like the Assault Rhino kind of thing.
I know that makes Seth and I both very happy.
What you were saying with the old Black Rage kind of rule, was that 3rd edition Blood Angels?
No, actually that was 2nd, sorry.
No. Close enough.
But it'd still be good to be able to do that. I mean, that's a pretty good idea. I mean, it would just have to change your game completely. Is that... I don't know. They're getting rid of our preferred enemy. We know that up.
There's no way that was going to last.
That was a complete accident. And I'm glad we had it for the time we did.
Oh, yeah. That is the only reason our army was still really viable.
I'm hearing that we might lose Furious Charge and Tank Hunter on our
Terminator. Veteran upgrades.
Yeah, veteran upgrades for our Terminators, which would suck.
But the possibility to get Terminators as troops?
That is good.
The thing I'm really wanting to see, just because it sounds really interesting to me, is the whole Wreck a Land Raider. It's got a turn to screw around on the battlefield before it finally goes kaput.
Where the machine spirit goes crazy. That is an awesome idea. Because that sounds like something Black Templars would do.
Just honestly, that sounds something more like what Chaos would do. Because the Black Templars, yes, they're righteous in their zeal, but they're still for the Emperor. And it shutting down to possibly survive the wreckage makes more sense than it going bug nuts and charging forward. It going bug nuts and charging forward sounds more like something like a Chaos Dreadnought does
already. I can see a Templar Dreadnought doing that, though.
I can see a Templar Dreadnought doing it.
Yeah.
But not a Templar.
And apparently they're rumored that we're going to get Chaplain Dreadnoughts in this. Finally.
That was rumored back when the Blood Angel Codex was being done. Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen. And then there was rumors that we would get Moriar the Chosen back. And that didn't happen. Mm. I really don't see them putting a Chaplain Dreadnought in anything other than Forge World. Because Forge World's already selling them. Mm. And Forge World's going to make money on them that way. Why cut into one of your product lines to put it in another product line? That doesn't really make sense from a business standpoint.
But if they were to ever do it, Templar or the one army, I see them ever doing it on.
Oh, I could see it if they were to do it. Yeah, I could see Templar.
But they were the number one. I would see them doing it for.
When are we, was there any rumors about us getting actually some range support?
Not that I know of.
Yeah, see, that's the only problem with everything now, because, of course, 6th edition could turn this completely around. Everything now has to have, especially when the Codex comes out, it has some sort of range support and some sort of good assault unit.
But, well, if the Land Raider spam that supposedly might be possible with the new Codex, normal Land Raiders, there's your anti-vehicle.
Yep.
5 Land Raiders and 1 army list is enough for me.
It's possible.
It is.
What do you think, Seth? You used to play Black Templar. You used to play a Horde Black Templar army before.
Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't even use the Rhinos and the Land Raiders. Mine was basically the 6 20-man squads of Templar with chaplains and support from Land Speeders, which, you know, I didn't even take the preferred enemy, so that really didn't bother me. I took the 6-plus invulnerable save, and you'd be surprised when you've got 120 Marines on the table how many 6-plus invulnerables you take saves you from blast templates from IG and all sorts of other weapons.
Yeah, but in this case, if the point costs are true, 11 points for initiate, 6 points for a neophyte.
You said 12.
What?
You said 12, I thought.
No, remember if the article said 11 for an initiate, 6 for a neophyte.
Oh, okay.
So you're looking at, let's see, 170 points for a 20-man squad. Whew. Yeah. So I mean, you're dealing with 10 of that power armor.
That'll have a nasty, nasty large footprint. Mm-hmm. On the table. Having 6 of those?
Yeah, but that is, let's see, Betty do math.
It's 300 points. Or 900 points, sorry.
Hmm.
170 points, right?
Yeah, 170 points.
So it's 900 points for, if you take all 6 troops.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
1,020. If my math is right.
No, we're going to find math, and I have
he's a doctor still. Now, you're not.
Showdown. No. Pull out your calculators.
Here we go. I don't know.
My calculator's all the way over there. The point was
it's cheap.
Yes.
Yes.
Whereas that was your pretty much your whole 2,000 point list.
Yeah.
Now it's half that.
Our boys, you're sitting there playing with over at least 1,200 points worth of stuff besides 120 Space Marines.
God.
I can see them quickly filling every forced organization section.
I spend 930 points on 6 Lehman Russes. I don't think I could stop 120 Marines with 6 Lehman Russes.
Come across the board.
I don't think I could do it.
The last thing to die is going to be that melting gun that'll pop your tank.
Yeah, I don't think I could do it. Maybe especially under concentrated fire, I could kill 1 or 2 squads in a turn. At most, with really lucky dice rolls because of the footprint that 120 Marines are going to have.
Because
you're not going to be inside of a vehicle. No. You're going to have to be foot slogging. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to be running your maximum as fast as you can to get up close to me. And I could see with the heavy bolter fire and the templates from all 6 of the Russes at once, maybe I could kill a squad. Maybe I could kill a squad and a half in a turn. But you'll be on me in the beginning of turn
and
what,
don't
two
forget,
or turn 3?
1,200 points of at least of something else.
Yeah, something else.
That's what I was going to add.
I mean, that could be range support sitting there popping your tanks.
Assuming they keep the same stat line,
yeah,
I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, the elites and the fast attack and the heavies you add into it, that's going to be what tears you up, and then you're not going to be able to do anything about the troops.
What I would do in a list like that, because let's say we don't get anything new for ranged at all.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing at all. what I would do, I take all six of those, all six, just like we're talking about, max out my fast attack in land speeder typhoons. Nine of them on the board.
Oh dear God.
that's ridiculous. That's 18 missiles a turn going into stuff.
That part really doesn't scare me. I really don't fear missiles. I mean, I've got armor value 14 for a wall. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know.
And don't forget, try last predators for heavy support.
Try last predators, yeah.
And if you're up against a horde army, you've got your horde to counter their horde, but then you've also better. You've got that Typhoon missile launcher to send that fine frag grenades into their horde.
Now, neophytes right now are strength 4, toughness 4, or strength
3. They are the exact same stat lines as Space Marine, just weapon skill and ballistic skill 3.
Do they? And they also have
and 4 plus
carapace save. Armor.
Yes.
Yeah, they have 4 plus save.
Okay.
Pretty much they are meat shields. If a last cannon comes at me, I grab a neophyte and hold it in front of me and it dies.
One plasma gunshot, neophyte, come here.
Poor baby. Dead. Moving on.
Okay. But you still have just one attack. Base.
Two.
Yeah.
Well, one base, two with close combat.
Three on the charge.
Three on the charge.
Well, so...
That's another thing I'm wondering about what they're going to do, though. The standard equipment lowdown on Crusaders.
That's a good question. Or are they going to get rid of our...
Our yeah. ability to take bolt pistol, chainsword, or bolter, or are they going to do like they did with Space Wolves?
No, now I'll say this about Space Wolves. Space Wolves, for the longest time, since 2nd edition, have always been bolt pistol, bolter, and chainsword. Okay. In 3rd edition, they were bolt pistol, bolter, and chainsword. Chaos has always been the same way with the three weapon combo. Regular Marines never have been. It's always been Chaos... And Space Wolves. So I don't really see the Black Templars picking up the three-weapon combo. It just doesn't make sense.
Especially with that cheap of points.
Yeah.
And you got to think on top of it, we're getting grenades now, right?
I would hope so.
Now, I could see them not giving you grenades.
At that cheap, that would be a good con.
Yeah.
No grenades.
But then again, cheap. If you got a horde that big...
Who needs grenades?
I don't know. Can we take Psychotrope grenades?
Oh, God, I hope so.
I hope not. I think the only real horde that even would be able to stand up to that would be...
A Green Tide?
A Green Tide, maybe.
It would depend on who... on heavy list. You'd have to throw wave after wave into it.
Well,
and even then, it depends who gets the charge.
Yeah, yep. It would depend on who got the charge. Mm-hmm. Now, I could really see, and this is going to sound bad, but it's the absolute truth, if they don't have a Power Fist in those units... And they don't have anything larger than strength 4, those 20-man blocks would have a real problem with someone just dumping a dreadnought or an armored sentinel on top of them.
Yep.
Because you won't be able to penetrate. I mean, you're hitting there swinging RV 12 in the front or 13 in the front. You're never going to get through. So either you're going to have grenades or you're going to have the ability to take multiple power fists or multiple two-handed weapons or something. Because otherwise it just doesn't work.
Yeah. I mean, if that option's there, you're pretty much going to have to take it just for that possibility. I mean, you don't see walkers near as much as you used to, but there's still going to be that possibility that's going
to
happen.
Oh, yeah.
And then again, I mean, we have to look at the same fact, too, that when 6th edition comes out, the entire game may be different as far as how you can pop tanks and pop armor.
Well, when it changed from 2nd to 3rd, it was a huge difference. When it changed from 3rd to 4th, it was a huge difference. 4th to 5th, true line of sight was a large difference. The different vehicle damage charts made a huge difference. Hull down, things like that. Cover saves. But that's really mostly the big changes that were made. It was more streamlined and more simplified. And every single edition has become a more streamlined and simplified game. I think the real question is going to be how much more streamlining and simplifying are they going to do before they start adding in more stuff that actually starts making it more difficult.
Yep.
I mean, we've seen the more difficulty being added in with the pain tokens. You've got to keep track of those for each squad. Mm. With the Trevagon, who poops out the babies. I mean, with the Grey Knights, who have to figure out every single psychic power all across the table, adding on to game time. I mean, what's next? How much more are they going to add on to it before they have to start taking stuff away to make it more smooth and playable.
I mean, there was already that whole discussion about levels of special rules.
Yeah.
Like Instant Death 2 going over Return to Warrior 1.
Yeah.
I mean, how much more difficult is that going to make the game? They're going to have to retroactively fact every codex like they did in Fantasy.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, we're going to have to look at each individual codex. I think he would have Return to Warrior 2.
I could see that.
But that is going to be a much, much bigger pain than what they had to do with Fantasy.
Yeah.
Because they would have to look at each individual unit.
They'd have to look at the Tau Codex and say, well, this codex is absolutely nothing at all like 4th edition or 5th edition, so therefore it doesn't work. Let's just throw that entire race into the garbage pan and be done and bring back squats. I mean, Demiurge or whatever it is. Please, Jervis Johnson, don't shoot me. I don't know. I really don't. I'm kind of leery of some of the stuff they're probably going to bring into 6th edition.
Some things you've been hearing tossed around?
Yeah, some of the stuff that gets tossed around on the internet, a lot of it sounds like wish listing. The ability for someone to always wound something else on a 6. While yes, it's heroic and it makes sense in a fantasy game like Fantasy, I don't think it really sounds feasible or fun for 40K. I don't like that idea at all. I'm not a fan of the rattling can always wound a Carnifex on a 6. I don't think that's right.
In close combat. Well, I've been saying that for the whole weapon skill thing for ever since I started playing.
Hitting something? No problem. Wounding it? No. I just don't see it.
I mean,
I'm more with Betty on this. I can see more of the hitting thing than more of the wounding thing. Because there's always a lucky shot. There's always, you have a weakness there, you have a big gaping wound, I can rip my fist into it and hurt you worse. You know, that I can see. As far as like a master swordsman fighting a guy who doesn't know anything, it'd be harder for that guy to land a blow on him.
I would be a lot less sour about this if you could need 6s to hit. Like, charging my Bloodthirster into a squad of Fire Warriors, they're still hitting on 5s no matter what.
Yep. Well, here's my stance on why this is different here. The greatest swordsman in the world, or axeman in the world, or kung fu fighter in the world, or whatever, does not fear the second greatest kung fu fighter, or axeman, or swordsman in the world. He fears the worst, because he can predict fairly accurately what the second, or third, or fourth will do. But that guy who's horrible and doesn't know what he's doing, there's no way that heck that the master's going to understand or figure out what the newbie's going to do. Because you never know, because they're unpredictable. So yeah, being able to be hit by those guys is one thing. Hurt by them? I'm a 10-foot tall demonic creature with brass and iron for blood and death for skin.
Are you an avatar now?
No, I'm like, you're sure, that works too. Very demon of Korn or an avatar, either one. I don't see them being wounded by strength 3.
Seeing a guard stab his bayonet through an avatar?
I just don't see it. I really don't see it.
Okay, that just brings up comedic image in my mind. It does. Just sitting there stabbing an avatar with a bayonet.
Yeah, I really don't see that. It just doesn't...
It looks funny, though.
It looks funny in your head, but honestly, that's the entire idea of a tar pit.
Sweet spot.
Using them to sit there and hold that guy down just through weight of guys he has to wade through. Even though they can't hurt him, that's kind of the point of a tar pit.
Yeah.
We'll see how it comes out. I mean, we could be worried about nothing. 6th edition can come out and it could be just like, oh, we fixed a few things. Which I doubt, but, you know.
6th edition could just be a gigantic fact.
Yeah, it could be like, hey, we fact everything. This rule that you've been worried about for years that makes no sense now makes sense.
And then 2 days after they release 6th edition, the 5th edition Necron fact will come out.
Yeah.
I do have to say this about the new fantasy rule book. In my opinion, it is so well laid out. You know what I mean? I don't really
read... Maybe not for finding stuff in it, but...
I don't really read through that and have a problem figuring out stuff.
Yeah. The only time I've ever had a problem was multiple combats and flanks and sides and rears and all that. But that's about it.
What edition is Fantasy on?
8th.
8th.
So I stopped playing somewhere right around 5th.
I don't know.
The game's a lot faster, it's a lot more simple.
But speaking of ideas from Fantasy, there is one thing that they have in it. I don't know if it's been in there for A76 or not that I can see him putting in for monsters in 40K. It's an ability they have called Thunderstomp, where it's pretty much just the monsters stepping on the smaller creatures.
And it's you extra attack you at the end of the round.
Thunderstomp is D6. Normal Stomp is just one attack at the creature's strength. But you can't do it if, say, the creature is just bigger than normal. Like, say, it was a monster's infantry. Something
like cavalry,
cavalry. An ogre. You can't do it on cavalry. Something like twice the size of a guardsman, you can't do it on that. But anything normal size, you can go to town on it.
Like a greater demon grabbing up somebody, squeezing them in their hand, killing them, and just stepping on the other guy.
I can see, like, card effects that they're charging through a unit of guardsmen or something.
See, I could see something like that being a new rule, universal rule, like unstoppable, where it can just continue. It moves in, it makes its attacks, it gets attacked back. Yeah, and then it just keeps moving through.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like hit and run is now, but being something worded different.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that for some of the larger monstrous creatures.
Mm-hmm.
I
wonder if hit and run won't suck.
I actually don't mind hit and run now.
I just don't get hit and run. Okay, you ran away from me, I'm shooting you down.
You do it in their turn, Mike. So that way you can charge again on your turn.
Yeah.
True. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
This explains why I don't think it very much.
You use hit and run at the end of their assault.
But then again, units who usually have it can't make it through two rounds of combat.
Fiends of Sinesh.
Really?
Dante.
Okay, whatever.
Didn't you lose to Dante who hit and run out of you? Away from you?
What, me?
So I'm pretty sure that
wasn't me.
Denial.
I'm pretty sure Ardboys round two, that was you. Dante, he with four wounds, who you just couldn't kill.
Shh, it's okay, Mike. It's okay.
That wasn't me, because in Ardboys, when we played, you were playing guard.
Not me. And in that place we went to? That place where we went to for round two of Ardboys?
The one where people got cheated?
One where people got cheated.
The look on Mike's face right now is just one of pure blank.
Mike's sitting there going, herp a derp a derp.
I can see smoke coming out of the ears.
No, that's hepatitis.
Oh, okay.
He is popping Nurgle after all.
They call him Meliello.
They call me Meliello.
All right, so.
Moving on.
Okay, back on track.
Back on track.
Meanwhile, back at the farm.
I think 6th edition will be good.
Yeah.
I think we can.
I know we're all going to keep playing.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure what the differences are really going to be. And then again, most of the stuff out there, you know, it's wish listing.
Just don't stop playing while I'm out in the country.
When do you leave again?
August of this year.
August of this year.
So about a month after 6th edition comes out.
So by the time you get back,
we'll be so good.
We'll know 6th edition, and he won't, and so we can make fun of him and beat him.
Yeah.
No, I'm still going to
You'll be like the new guy all over again,
no,
Betty.
No, I will still be calling rules on Mike. You know I will.
That is a valid point.
You don't call rules on me.
I did it just the other day.
Oh.
Well, now that we're done complaining about 6th ed, and leafing through Duncan's old rogue trader codex, or rule book. One of the four. You know, we were talking about Dark Eldar earlier. We haven't actually done a Dark Eldar review. Seth, why don't you give us a rundown? We'll kind of go with you.
It works real well, especially since you just started up Dark Eldar.
Well, I haven't been able to play everything in here. We'll start with HQ, and I'm not going to talk about all of them because there's just so many of them. So,
how many is so many?
How many, Seth?
Shut up, Mike.
No.
There are 11 HQ choices.
Is that including name characters?
Yes. Which is probably on par with most of the other codexes now, but still, I mean, we could be all night talking about
just
them.
Just the HQs, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's just touch on some of the big ones, I guess.
Alright, well, the one I really want to talk about is one of everybody's favorite ones, is the Baron, who is the guy on the Skyboard.
Yep.
So he's the Hellion character. 105 points.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is, you know, bad. You know what?
Pajama?
Yeah. Because he comes with the Shadow Field, the Hellglaive. Well, the Shadow Field is the 2+ invulnerable save.
That everybody hates.
Yes.
Until they get a last gun through.
Then, multi-gun. Plasma gun. Anything strength 6.
Do they have any save beyond that?
Yeah, they've got a normal save. Like, he comes with the 5+ save, which is the witch suit.
There's the old rule that we've mentioned before. You've always got to take the better of your two saves.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He comes with the Hellglaive, which is +1 strength. But he's got an additional rule for his special Skyboard, which actually gives him +2 strength instead. So he ends up being strength 5. He's got a couple of other additional rules, like he lets his units reroll difficult terrain. He makes all the Hellions troops if you take him. I mean, he's just, if you compare an Archon and give him the same war gear, the Archon's like 50 to 60 more points than this dude. And this dude does the exact same thing for 105 points.
He also has a special rule, doesn't he, that helps with going first?
Yes.
Well, what is that?
I thought that was one of the others. I thought that was Vec.
There's two of them.
I think Vec, one of them allows you to reroll going first, and the other one gives you like a 4+ for your CZ initiative.
I think Vec's the one that does the 4+ to seize the initiative, and I think the one that you were talking about, the Baron, is +1 or +2
I don't know, I'm going to have to look it up since I haven't actually played with him yet.
I was about to say, you're the one with the codex in your hands.
Why are you pausing?
Alright, so the Baron is actually the one that adds +1 to the dice, and these are the exact words, when determining which side chooses deployment. Because there have been rumors for 6th edition that you're going to be doing deployment and
turn
separately again instead of together.
That's what you do in Fantasy, isn't it?
Yeah. Kind of. It depends on what mission you're playing. In Fantasy, majority of the time, whoever wins the roll-off places their first unit first, which they then alternate. And you place Lords, Generals, and War Machines all at the same time.
You get a +1 to go first.
Yeah, if you're the first one done.
Yeah.
So, anyway, back to Dark Eldar.
So I just thought I wanted to note that because the wording and there is kind of, you know, ooh, what are they coming out with? So that's the Baron. I mean, he's
epic foreshadowing.
You know, awesome for 105 points.
I see a lot of people just take him and hide him the entire game.
Well, you're taking him in a unit of probably between 10 and 15 Hellions. I mean, he's helping them get into combat.
Which ones are Hellions?
Hellions are the guys on the Skyboards. They've also got a Hellglaive.
Okay.
They look like the Green Goblin, basically. That's
what
they are.
What were the guys that went over my
Jetbikes
squad?
Those are the Reavers, the Jetbikes.
Okay.
Let's see, other than him,
there's Vec, that other guy we're talking about.
Yeah, Vec, who's supposed to be, you know, the big, bad Mamma Jamma. He's 240 points based, though. He comes with basically the same war gear.
Is he still riding his fancy Ravager?
You can buy the fancy Ravager for an additional 200 points.
Man.
So, he's 440 points with the Ravager. He's got a bunch of nifty special rules, and
he survives if you destroy his Ravager.
I'm sure he does.
I'll say, if not, that's just stupid.
Out of the other special characters, the Duke is probably another popular one, because he upgrades the unit he's with's poison attacks to hit wounding on 3s instead of 4s.
Oh, that's good.
He's 150 points. He's got similar war gear. Basically, all the special characters come with a shadow field.
So again, that's the 2+, right?
Dark Eldar don't leave home without the 2+ invulnerable.
Multi-laser, las guns, bolt pistols.
Non-special character HQs, the Archon, which you all got to play against.
Yeah.
He's your basic run-of-the-mill HQ
guys,
to me.
A little fun.
I haven't played with the Succubus. Not a big fan of the witches so far. I mean, she's basically just a big souped-up witch.
Yeah.
And then you've got your Homunculus for the pain tokens, basically. Or some fun with liquefier guns.
I hate the liquefier guns!
Who's the one that shot the other guys instead of the Homunculus?
So, I think once I get the opportunity to play a couple more of these, then we might have a little bit more to say.
About HQs, though, like the Baron. I've seen people take him, like I said before, and just not use him with anything. He's kind of like fall behind a raider or something, and when things got into combat, he joined them just to help. Which is pretty interesting.
Well, see, I don't understand why, because the Baron himself, he isn't a close combat beast. I mean, he doesn't have a power weapon.
It's just for that extra ability to go first. Adding that plus one to your roll to go first is tremendous.
Really, I don't know if it's worth 105 points just for that.
Well, I mean, when you have to take an HQ.
Sure. if I was building a list and I'm just looking for an HQ to take, I don't think I'd take it.
Yeah.
I mean, unless I was wanting the Hellions as troops, then, you know, there's no point in taking him. I think I'd take my chances on rolling to get first turn and just take a Archon of some sort or Homunculus for the free pain token.
I think most people take him for the fact, you know, because, let's face it, Dark Elder are an Alpha Stark army. You know, they need to go first.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because if you go first against them, more likely you're going to shoot down a bunch of their crap.
Glass hammer.
Yeah, they're a glass hammer.
All right, let's move to the elites, which we've got the Incubi. So, you know, they're basically
Space Marines with power weapons.
Slightly weaker Space Marines. You know, they've got the power weapons.
But faster.
But faster, because they ride in Raiders.
And their power weapons give them plus one strength, right?
Yes. So that's probably my favorite choice out of the elites, the Incubi. We've got the Grotesques, which I haven't even looked at them in the book, really. Because, you know, I was reading about Dark Eldar as basically Incubi and Trueborn, so I don't know anything about the Grotesques. They are strength and toughness 5 with multiple attacks, but they've got a 6+ save. So, I mean, there's probably lots of good combinations out there using Homunculus with them to give them pain tokens and beef them up. But Rax are the same way. They're another. Both of them do have the altered physique, so they start the game with a free pain token as well. So that kind of helps them out, since they both have a 6+ save. Then you've got Mandrakes, which again, the last Codex, the Mandrakes were kind of pointless and sucked. This one, they're kind of mediocre. If you can get them a pain token, they get a pretty good, decent ranged attack. So then you've got Harlequins, which it's the same exact thing that was in the Eldar Codex. So I don't really have to say anything about them. They just don't. The Harlequins don't fit into a Dark Eldar army. I can see why they put them in here, but, you know,
they don't to me. To me, Harlequins aren't Dark Eldar.
No.
And I don't really know anybody who actually takes them.
And people aren't taking them, because
Caboose wanted to with his.
Caboose wants to do everything. There's no reasoning with that boy.
Yeah.
And then we've got the Trueborn.
Which are my favorite.
Which, I mean, they're warriors. They're elite warriors, basically. They're just veterans who want to relate to Space Marines. But taking all the blasters or whatever special weapons you want to give them.
Yeah, the trick with that is, what, 5 guys, 4 blasters, and a Venom.
Yeah. Well, some people are taking 4 guys, all with blasters. I like the 5th guy just for the buffer wound.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Then the last elite's choice is the Hecatrix Blood Brides, which are basically veteran witches. And that's all they are. They've got an additional attack. Some more war gear they can take, but all the same rules as basic witches.
Yeah.
Troops-wise, you've got the warriors and witches. Can't really say anything else. I mean, the warriors are good. They're 9 points apiece for what they do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're basically buying them to put a Dark Lance and a blaster in it and sit there and shoot. I mean, you're going to sit in cover, so you're not worried about their armor save.
If only they had combat tactics.
Yes. That would be awesome.
Take 10 of them, split the... Take the
sit the guy with the Dark Lance on an objective and put the other 5 in a Venom.
Yep.
That would be awesome. Fast attack. I think the funny thing about this codex, out of all the years I've been playing this and all the different armies, I don't know of another codex who's got fast attack choices that are all viable. I mean, this codex does it. You've got the Hellions, which we already kind of talked about.
Yeah.
If you're taking the Baron, they're awesome. Then you've got the Scourges, which, I mean, the models are just ridiculously awesome for them to begin with. And they've got Shard Carbines, Assault 3, so if you're taking a unit of 10, you're pumping out 30 shots that wound on 4s, they're poison 4. And they've got the basic, you know, you can add in Heat Lances, Blasters, Dark Lances. I mean, they've got the upgrades and everything, too. But I mean, just for base, so they are 22 points apiece, but they're jump infantry with 3 shots apiece. So that's pretty awesome. Beastmasters. Another unit I haven't been able to try, but
I've heard out of a webway portal, a Beastmaster unit can be pretty wicked. So you get the Beastmaster. We can take up to five Beastmasters plus a bunch of different beasts with him.
I've seen a few Beastmasters in games, and they've always done really well.
Yeah,
surprisingly.
But right now, you have to make your own Beastmaster out of a Hellion box, but our store hadn't been able to get in any of the beasts. So I'm kind of waiting for some of them to get in before I try them out.
Yeah.
And then last for the fast attack is the Reavers, the jet bikes. And y'all know what they can do.
Suck.
Yeah.
I mean, again, those are kind of the glass cannon option. They're going to take out a unit if they go over top of it.
They're very glass cannon. I had 9 of them in our game. That was enough of the blade veins going over it that it was enough to take out a 5-man unit, was it?
Yeah. Well, 6-man unit.
6-man unit. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Granted, well, then they stuck around for 2 turns in combat before they died and pretty much didn't do any wounds back to you, but...
Still, they did what they were supposed to do.
They did what they were supposed to do, yeah.
So they're kind of that one-trick pony once they come on. And they're so fast, you know, was it 36 inches they can go?
Yeah, they can move the flat out 36 inches for
which
the jet
bike. Which is ridiculous.
And they've got, like, the Eldar jet bikes. They can do that 6-inch move in the assault phase, so... And if you do manage to survive after that for a round, then you can pop back in some cover and hide.
Mm-hmm. Thankfully.
Alright, so heavy support. We've got the Ravager. Your basic Dark Eldar. 3 Dark Lance. And you can't go wrong with that. That's probably the most common heavy support choice of all the lists that are out there. You've got the Talos Pain Engine, which, again, that's one I don't even own a model of.
Doesn't really make sense to me, the Talos Pain Engine.
Haven't tried him out. I mean, he's got some nice ways of getting... I don't know if it's him or the Kronos Pain Engine. One of them gets to deal pain tokens to other units. Like, if he kills something, he can give it to another unit within 12 instead of him getting it. Pain tokens don't do anything for him anyway.
Yeah.
I think. So I don't really have anything else to say about them other than I haven't used them.
Don't know.
Haven't really even looked at the options for them yet. We'll probably just have to get back later once I pick one up and try it out. The Racer Wing Jet Fighter, which you all about to go up against, is basically a one-shot pony. I mean, you need to blow your wad the first turn of that thing. Because even though it's another 2 Dark Lances, if you're taking the Dark Lance option and not the Disintegrator Cannons, if you're taking the Dark Lances, then I mean, it's another 2 Dark Lances people have to worry about, and they're going to shoot at you.
Yep.
And in armor value 10, you're going down. So, I mean, blow your missiles and hope you kill something.
Which, for you were able to take out an entire...
I did, even with horrible scatters.
Yeah, you scattered pretty bad.
Shooting everything off of him, I was able to take out a squad, but, you know, that's what you got to do with him.
Mm-hmm.
Get the Alpha Strike, and I really wanted, if I could have ever had any turns, to fly him around the table without you stunning him. I was just going to fly him around the table and piss you off.
That's what it was. You didn't get to fly around, but you got the piss off part.
You got to fly once.
Yeah, you got to move him to the center of the board.
I got to try and run away to the center of the board.
I was like, no!
Yay, stop.
The last choice we have is the Void Raven Bomber, which doesn't have a model, but it's basically the jet fighter with a special bomb option that he can do once per game. So, and he actually's got front and side armor 11, so he's a little better. But,
holy crap, he can't be brought down by bolt pistols.
No!
Which I'm still proud to say I've done something like that before.
Yes.
It was old Dark Eldar, but still, it was awesome.
The reason, well, one of the problems with the jet fighter and the bomber, though, is they're 145 points base. And most of the time, if you want them to stay alive, you're giving them the flicker field, too.
Yeah.
So now you're at 155 points. Whereas you could take the Ravager for 105 points and give him the Flicker Field, and you're already saving 30 points.
Is Flicker Field shooting only, or for close combat, too?
Just for shooting.
Just for shooting, okay. It's an in-bolt save, right?
Correct.
5+.
5+ save.
The trick with, it seems like, a lot of those things is to stay at that magic... distance away from everything. 102.8. 42. Say that magic, you know, number. When you almost thinks that range 48, you know, stay.
That's the night shield you're thinking about, though, is the minus 6 inches. Yeah, which I think I've determined is probably not worth it since most people are taking missile launchers, and there's almost nowhere for you to hide. I mean, if you're spending the extra 10 points, like we said earlier, you could buy another unit. You know, by the time you've given all of the night shields, you could have put a whole other unit probably in a Venom for that much. And
they'll probably have something that can move at least 6 and still be able to fire at least something that would be in range.
Right. But then again, you'd be surprised as... I'm going to shoot my melted gun at you. Great, now I'm out of range. What is your favorite unit in the Codex? So far, I mean, you've only been playing it for a little bit.
Well, probably the Incubi, just because they were successful at actually killing something. But I think once we get a game in with all the Hellions I've got put together, I'm praying they do something. I mean, them, I'll have to show you the Baron I modeled up. I made him a fancy old cape. I mean, because there's no Baron model, so I put a bunch of bits on him, made a green stuff cape on him. He looks pretty bad. You know what? I've almost messed this up twice now.
Bad man pajama?
Yeah. I don't, you know, this book is full of good choices, is my problem.
It's a good book.
I just couldn't believe getting back into the game and picking this book up as my choice. Never even looking through it before. Mm-hmm. I'm deciding to play him. It's got, you know, good choices everywhere. I'm wanting to field everything. I mean, if GW's goal was for me to buy every single unit in here, they're doing a good job. Because I want it all, basically. You know. I don't know what else we can say about it other than, you know, if we want to give some more input on some of the units after I've played some of them, then we can. But
are you liking doing the, you know, the Five Guys and the Venom?
The Five Guys and the Venom, which is, I don't know if we're considering that, like, the multiple small unit tactics that a lot of people are using. But, you know, it seems to work. And I can't believe it when you've got five Dark Eldar and a Venom that have a 5+ save. And most of them are surviving the whole game.
Then again, it goes
are
back.
Are they surviving because they're still in the vehicle and no one's getting the vehicle?
When they pop, they're dead.
When they get out and I'm not around cover, yeah, they're dying.
They're dead.
It is the vehicle pretty much keeping them alive.
Oh, so it's the metal box that ruins their survivability.
But it's the cheap 60-point Venom metal box.
So do you prefer the
and it gives,
or the Venom?
I like the Venom better. It's cheap, well, it's not really that much cheaper, but it's giving you more targets, is the thing. And I think, you know, I'm going to take 5 main units anyway and not 10 most of the time. So if I can give multiple targets out there, I think that was one reason I was able to stay alive some of the time, was because there's just too much for you to shoot at. You couldn't shoot at all of it.
Target saturation does work really well.
Oh, yeah. It's something, like, with you and my demons, it's something you really have to do well.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty good. I look forward to seeing more, what you come up with as far as that. Have you kind of come up with, well, I guess you don't really know what your 2,000 point list is going to be yet, so.
I've still got to play
everything.
A lot of it more, yeah. And just, you know, I've got to play every unit 5 times before I actually decide whether I like it or not, because I need different opponents. You know, certain units are going to do better against other people, and I need to find those that are going to do good against a wide variety of units.
Well, hopefully I'll provide a little bit of difference tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing your guard tomorrow, because it's going to be an experience.
Dark Eldar.
You should make a battle report about this. This should be good. Take pictures. And
We might have to...
You know, we could do the first official BPR6 battle report video and put it on YouTube, but I don't have a camera that can do that.
I thought Jack was doing a bunch of them. What happened to all those?
Yeah, those are official, not BPR6s.
Ah, okay.
Those are not BPR6. Those are Jack being Jack.
Those are Jack forgetting to do one at the start of the turn until halfway through the turn.
Yes, because that is Jack.
This is turn 2.3864. We've moved 3 units.
Turn 3.5. Mike, we didn't really do anything, so we figured this was a good place to do it too.
Mike's halfway through the point of rolling the hit on his 3rd unit. We'll get back to you at the end of the turn.
This is the first BPR6 battle report.
We're starting to live here at the bottom of turn 7. the game's already over, but it was good. The end.
Good game.
Someone won.
That'd be a great battle report. Just show us we had a good game. Click.
There were two people. Someone won. The end.
Well, maybe. It could have been a draw. We're not really sure.
I've always wanted to see somebody do that and then just say, okay, and here's a dancing cat for the next couple of minutes so people don't just
sit there and stare at the dancing cat.
Here's 15 and a half minutes of dancing cat. Oh. All right. As we get ready to round out the podcast, we're going to go back to one of my favorite parts, and we're going to pick a selection out of the codex that each of us really likes out of any codex, current or past, that we think best fits that selection. And this week's, we have determined randomly that it will be Fast. So, Betty, start us off.
Let's see. Favorite Fast that I usually see all the time, because I use it personally, is the Heavy Flamer Multi-Melted Heat Speeders, which I take with my Black Templars all the time.
And why do you like
it? Let's see. Well, most of the time, I have Rhinos rushing towards the enemy's line, so that is the main thing that they're focusing on, instead of the fast little armor value 10 thing that's moving up the side of their lines. They don't care about the land speeders when there's a bunch of crazy power armor space marines looking at you in the face. And while they're spending all their time getting the space marines out of their boxes, the next turn comes around, they have land speeders that are shooting either a Multi-Melta into their most valuable vehicles or heavy flaming their most valuable units in the background. It's just a smart player will pick it out and know the danger that they could possibly represent, but most of the time, no one does.
They do last pretty long. I mean, they're good. I mean, they're one of my favorite choices.
And they come in squadrons. And I love squadrons. Yeah. And they're not crazy expensive.
75 points a piece.
Yeah, I mean,
for a heat speeder.
Heavy flamer, so you can take out hordes, or you've got the Multi-Melta to help.
So you can pop everything.
What about you, Seth? What's your favorite?
I'm going Hellions, just because they're good on paper, and I haven't used them yet.
Okay.
So
we like this plan.
Because out of the other two armies that I play, Eldar, fast attacker crap, and so are demons. So I don't know. I mean, just purely because they look good on paper, and they are awesome models.
Mike, you.
I'd have to say the Vendetta gunship. No, not really. I'm starting to. I'm starting to like the Landspeeder Typhoons a lot more and more. I read them on paper, I guess.
You don't use paper. You use Army Builder.
I use Army Builder. I like them more and more on Army Builder. They just, for 70 points in Black Templars, I can take them, I can squadron them. I can fit a lot into a good list. I also am starting to like, I've always liked this. I've always liked the Ball Predator. I don't know why I have. I've always, the thought of having a Flamestorm Cannon that'll scout and then move again and then destroy a marine line, to me, is just
beautiful.
Beautiful. I mean, it doesn't always happen. It's one of those pure, everything's, the stars and the moon has to align and everything has to work for you to be able to do it. But still, it's awesome. Well, since you're last, Duncan, what about you?
Well, I could go with the Vendetta, because for 130 points, nothing beats triple last cannons on a fast-moving vehicle that can carry 10 guys. Twin-link guys, that's right, twin-link. But I'm actually going to go with Blood Angels, Descent of Angels Army, Vanguard Veterans. 7 to 8-man squad, everyone coming down with a jump pack, everyone deviating 1d6 from where their point of origin is, and then charging into the backfield of tanks. How many Power Fists can I fit in this squad? As many as I need. How many Inferno Pistols can I fit in this squad? As many as I need.
How many IG parking lots can I wreck? Any one that I drop onto.
Can you combat squad Vanguard veterans?
Yep. You can combat squad them. You can, for that 115 points base, they don't come with jump packs. It's another 10 points per, I think. And it's only 5 of them, but you've already got one power weapon. 15 more points, sorry, 10 more points, and you've got a power fist. 15 points more, and you've got a single melta pistol. And I'll keep adding more guys into that and adding more power fists into it. Something like that, I'd probably go with a 50-50 mix. And I would wreck anything I jumped in on. Because it's just charging after deep striking 1d6, and with the Blood Angels rule coming in on turn 2, in essence, it's nasty.
You know, I have to add that I think fast attack is probably my least favorite slot as far as force organization goes.
Mine's elite.
It just, to me, it always seems like fast attack, I hardly ever take it.
It's because you play Marines.
Yeah. I take it a lot with the IG, but only because of Vendettas. I hardly ever take it with Marines, except when I'm doing my Blood Angels and I'm doing the Send of Angels stuff. Other than that, I'm not going to bring it.
I mean, even with my NIDs, I don't take it. Well, of course,
what do you have in there? Harpies?
Horrible. Ravagers? That make no sense whatsoever.
Gargoyles?
Again, they're not viable.
Yeah. I was just listing fast attack for NIDs.
I think we covered all of NID's fast attack right
there. Yeah, that's done.
Fast attack, yeah, I understand why it's in there. But for the most part, every single thing that you really want in a game, for the most part, is in troops and heavy and HQ. A lot of people fill up their elites. But almost everybody ignores most of their fast slots, or some of them, because it's always seen as the weakest of the group.
Yeah. And I can see why. I mean, me personally, I had to see why. Like, I mean, you guys hardly ever take anything demon in fast attack, right?
I never used fast attack choices in demons.
Exactly.
Me neither.
I couldn't even tell you what the fast attack choices are.
I didn't once. That was only because half my demons were being stripped of paint, and I just wanted to use Blessing of the Blood God on Jack's Grey Knights.
Well, there you go.
Just to see his face when I get to use rerollable 2+ invulns because of Fate Weaver. Against his purifiers. That made me smile.
That would make me smile too. Jack, we're sorry to wake you up, but we're going to go ahead and do the close out here.
It was Mike's idea.
This is Mike's idea. Everybody,
was it?
It's 2 a.m. where we are. So, for the 4th episode of the BPR6 podcast, this is Duncan.
This is Mike.
Betty.
This is Seth.
This is Jack. Wish you all good night.
Good night.